Now.
So tonight's shiur is being dedicated to Ili Nishmas, it's at Belzans, it's at Rocha, it's at Yaakov and Tzvi. Just probably everybody here knows Nudach the Belzan on a personal note, but I just feel that it's important just to mention for a moment what a major role he had both in my own life and in terms of the life of the shiurim, and really in terms of the entire Tineg Burgenfield, Burgen company, and really in a sense spreading out throughout Klal Yisrael. That Belazan in no exaggeration was a major force in terms of spreading Torah within our community, and particularly the shiurim that I've actually supposed to be able to give now for over 20 years. Shiurim was Boka, with the night shiur, other shiurim, and many of them were very much the idea of Dr. Belzan, were encouraged by Dr. Belzan, were began by Dr. Belzan. So really, it's a tremendous across the toe, but it's just close to be able to dedicate tonight's shiur in his memory. So I want to share a sugya tonight that it's a fairly common shiloh. People have asked me the shiloh many times. Shilas comes up fairly often, and I had to deal with it a little bit this week as well. And it was on my mind, so I figured I'd try to share a little bit and try to develop the sugya a little bit. And that's the issue of when a person moves out of a house, what's the status in terms of removing the mezuzahs? So believe it or not, there's a little bit of an interplay between this sugya and Hilchos Chanukah, since we're ready in Chodesh Kislev now, so we'll try to connect the dots a little bit in terms of Chanukah also. So the sugya begins on the first of the Mamakomos in Bav Metzia Daf Kuf Beis Amin Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, Hamaske Bais Techaveiro, Alaso Chalasos Lo Mezuzah. If I rent you a house, so the renter, the person who's living there, he is the socher, is obligated to put up the mezuzahs. Some of you who join us for Kol Boker in the mornings, so we spoke a little bit about this earlier on in Maseches Pesachim, because the Gemara relates this sugya to who is obligated to put up the mezuzah, whether the owner or whether the person who is living there. The Gemara relates this a little bit to Bedikas Chametz. So basically, the halacha tells us that mezuzah chavas hadar, that the socher is the one who's obligated to put up the mezuzah. There is a question in the Rishonim, is that a chiyuv derais or a chiyuv derabbanan? There are some Rishonim who maintain that unless you actually own the house, in terms of pure monetary ownership, pure dinim amunis, it's not called beis secha, and therefore the whole chiyuv mezuzah would only be mit derabbanan. And the others would disagree and say, no, just the fact that you're living there, that in of itself is a mechayev min haTorah mezuzah. So again, it doesn't make that much of a difference for us practically. The halacha is clear that the socher, maybe we could just mute. Okay. That the socher is the one who has to put up the mezuzah. But now for our part of the sugi, the braisa continues in the first day of Mamakamos. When the person leaves the house, so you shouldn't take the mezuzah with you, which is really very startling, because if it's my chiyuv and I'm not going to live in this house anymore, so why should I leave the mezuzah behind? So it's unclear why this is such a prohibition. But if I'm renting from a non-Jew, then no, then you better take the mezuzah with you. Because if you're renting from a non-Jew, if you don't take the mezuzah, the non-Jews will take the mezuzah and throw it to the garbage. But if you're renting from a Jew, so then the obligation is quite clear. You have to leave the mezuzah there. And again, it's not exactly clear why that halacha should be so. So there is a sugi that appears in the second of the Mamakomos, and this is what's going to connect us a little bit to Chos Chanukah. Itma Rav Omar, Eim Adlikin Miner Liner, Ushmol Omar Madlikin. Rav and Shmuel have a machloikis about Chos Chanukah. Are you permitted to light one Chanukah candle from another Chanukah candle? Now, that shaila could potentially present itself in multiple ways. It could present itself if you have different people having different menorahs, or it could potentially present itself if you have one person with one menorah, but a lot of candles. It's the eighth Chanukah, a lot of candles there. So are you permitted to take from one light to another light? So Rav says you're not allowed to do that, and Shmuel says you are allowed to do that. Now, we all know, everybody agrees, well not everybody, but we pass in Aloha, Haneiros Lel Kodeshim, that you're not allowed to use Chanukah candles, the light from Chanukah candles, for your private purposes. The Gemara says, for example, also the hearts of smoles could ever near Chanukah. You're not allowed to count your money by the near Chanukah. They say in a joke that that's the source of Chanukah geld. As the Gemara says, you're not allowed to count your money by the Chanukah. Oh, you see from here that people must be getting money the night of Chanukah. So I don't know whether that's what Chazal had in mind, but the bottom line is you're not allowed to use the Chanukah geld for your own private use. So here the machlokes and the rami is, can you use the Chanukah candles for the Chanukah candles? and you be malik benel in there. Then the Gemara has a parallel machlekes. Rav ma'ei matir and tzitzis bebegel lebegel. Ushmul matir bebegel lebegel. Rav says that you're not allowed to take tzitzis off of one garment and fasten them onto another garment. And Shmuel says you're allowed to. So there seems to be a machlekes, a theme developing here about taking a chavetz shel mitzvah and, in a sense, switching it over to another chavetz shel mitzvah. Is that considered to be an affront to the first item or not? So Rav says both in terms of Neris Chanukah as well as in terms of a chassidus, you may not. You can't switch over, even though it's the same mitzvah, but it's a different chavetz shel mitzvah. And Shmuel says that it's perfectly acceptable. So Tosis raises a question in the third of the Mamakamos. Tosis says, wait a second, we have this machloikas about can you switch strings from one beggar to another? We have this machloikas, can I transfer from one flame, one candle to another? So l'chora, by mezuzah, the halacha should be the same. Namely, that can I take a mezuzah off of one house and put it onto another house? So Tosis says, well, obviously, if you're leaving the house, if you're the tenant, and you're leaving the house, you're not going to live in the street. Obviously, you're planning on renting another house. You're planning on buying another house. Obviously, you want to take these mezuzahs and put them up in a different doorway, in a different house. So what should be the problem? So according to Rav, I understand the problem. According to Rav, you're not allowed to light from one chanukah candle to another. You're not allowed to take strings from one beggar to another. So according to Rav, I understand perfectly well the braisa in Bava Metzia that the seich is not allowed to take his mezuzahs with him. Because even though he wants to do the mitzvah of mezuzahs somewhere else, you can't take mezuzahs from one place to another. The same way you can't take strings from one garment to another. Same way you can't take a flame from one candle to another. But according to Shmuel, what would be the problem? According to Shmuel, it should be permissible. To make matters even more serious, we pass like Shmuel. The Gemara says that this is actually one of the exceptions to the rule. Usually when there's machlekes Rav and Shmuel, the Gemara says the rule is as follows, that questions of issur v'heter, of ritual law, of Shabbos, kashrus, things like that, we generally follow Rav. Matters of monetary law of din and mamonis, then we always follow Shmuel. So the Gemara says that there are a few exceptions to the rule, and this is one of those exceptions. So we pasken the halacha that madlikim in elanir, we pasken that matirim begel begel meikra din. Whether we do it practically or not is a different story, but meikra meikra din, we pasken that you're allowed to. So it comes to us and says that if so, we should pasken that kovin, lochin, mezuzim, mezuzim, lochin, mebayis, labayis, loch, medels, ladelas, why not? So Tosfos continues on the third of the Memekamos, so the middle line of the Tosfos, for Gabi Mezuzah Shinenash, the Gemara Mitzia tells a story about somebody who took his mezuzahs down and was punished because he violated this halacha. So says Tosfos, it must be Shem Lohoi B'dayt L'nich B'ayis Acher. It must be that he wasn't planning on putting those mezuzahs in another doorway. It could be that when he was renting a house, he was renting a big mansion with 100 doorposts. So he had 100 mezuzahs up. Now he was moving to a small, downsizing a little bit. So he was moving to a small house. Now he's only going to have 5 doorposts. So he's going to have 95 mezuzahs that are going to be sitting in the drawer. So Shmuel Sotosu says, that's a problem that you're not going to do. Even according to Shmuel who says, matir mebeged lebeged, that means I can take strings off of one garment, put it onto another garment, but I can't take a pair of strings off and just put it in the drawer and be mevatel mitzvah. So even Shmuel would concede that I'm not allowed to take a mezuzah off if I'm not going to put it up somewhere else. So that tells the suggestion that maybe the only way to resolve the fact that we do permit you to take from a candle to another candle, we do permit you to take from one garment to another, we should have permitted you to take from one mezuzah to another, from one doorpost to another. The only reason why we frown upon that is because it must be, you don't plan on putting up with another doorpost. But if you would, then it would be okay. Inami says, tells us, mezuzah shiny, that maybe no, maybe mezuzah is worse than all the other mitzvahs. And maybe unlike tzitzis in Chanukah, where we're okay with switching from one object to another, mezuzah is more problematic. Why? What makes mezuzah manishan and mezuzah from tzitzis? She'asuya lahatzel v'amazikin. Tosfos does a curveball at us. Tosfos says, the reason why you're not allowed to take down mezuzah is because the mezuzah is there to protect you from mazikin. We'll leave out what exactly mazikin, shadim, demons, whatever negativity is involved with the term mazikin. Says Tosfos, if you have the mezuzah there, that's great. And if the mezuzah comes down, that's going to be a problem. So basically what you're doing is that you're causing damage to the person who's moving in next. So here, Pliny is going to come. Reuven's moving out of the house and Shimon's going to move in next week. So she is setting up a situation where Shimon may not have mezuzahs. So therefore, the reason why you're not allowed to remove the mezuzah is benam lechaveray, because you're being mazik, the other person, you're causing some kind of a harm to the new tenant. That's a whole different story. According to the second answer in Tosfos, even if you plan on putting the mezuzahs up in another house, that would still be a problem. So we have now developing very, very small Tosfos, a tiny Tosfos in Shabbos, but this Tosfos which appears in the sugyas of Chanukah, the Chabez is right in the heart and soul, in the middle of the sugyas of Neres Chanukah. So Tosfos tells us there are two ways to understand the sugya in Bav Metzia. And the Gemara says that you're not allowed to take the mezuzah down from when you leave the house. So Tosfos is not sure why. So one shot is that it's an issur nuchas mezuzah. It's an issur of bitul mitzvahs mezuzah. That you're not allowed to take it down. But the only time it would be also, according to the first day in Tosfos, is if you're not planning on reusing it somewhere else. But if you're switching the mezuzah from one house to another, gezundei, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, according to the first day in Tosfos. It's only the second answer in Tosfos that extends it and says, no, that it applies even if you're planning on putting up in another door. It's still a problem because not al tzuchas mezuzah, al tzuchas benom chaveray, because you're causing damage to the next party. So this second answer of Tosfos is presupposing something. Tosfos is working with the premise that mezuzah somehow is a protection against something, and that plays a halachic role. That is the source for this isser of taking the mezuzah down, because by removing the mezuzah, you're causing some kind of a hezek to the other person. So that's a very, very loaded statement. Is that really true? That Hilchos Mezuzah is related to Shmiras Habayis? Is that true? So those in Kolobo care, hopefully remember we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, that it's not so clear whether that's even true, that Mezuzah has any shaykhs to Shmiras Habayis in the world of Halacha. So some Rishonim say yes, another Rishonim say strongly not. If we take a look at the fourth of the Maamar Kamos, so Rashi, in Pesachim Dav Dal, this is what we spoke about back in Kolobo care, Rashi says on the phrase that Chazal used to tell us that the Seicher has to put up the Mezuzah. The owner, the balabas, the landlord, is not obligated to pay for the mezuzah. The tenant is obligated to pay for the mezuzah. The Gemara says because mezuzah chayves hadar, because the chiyuv is upon the person who's living there. So Rashi adds on, why is that so? How did Chazal know that to be so? Mayhai manishtana that mezuzah chayves hadar, says Rashi, v'ishahim misham rasai, because the mezuzah is protecting him. And how do we know that idea that mezuzah is l'chay v'sadar, that it's b'shem rasoi? Because the Torah says, "Uchsaf amezuzah be'secha." You put the right mezuzahs on your house. So the Torah Shabbat explains the word be'secha also has the meaning bi'oscha, the way you walk in. Namely, if you're the guy who's walking in, the chiv is on the person that's walking in and out of the house, namely the one who's living there. Let's say I own some property out in Chicago, and I'm no one near this property. I'm renting out an apartment, or an apartment to somebody. I'm not there, so the mezuzah is not protecting me. But if I'm a tenant in some other house in Chicago, so if I'm living there, then I have to put up the mezuzah. So Rashi says that the whole source for the din that the Seicha puts up in the first place, the entire basis for the principle of mezuzah chayves hadar, is based on Shmir Sabayis. So that Rashi is very much in sync with the second day in Tosfos, that since mezuzah has some degree of Shmir Sabayis, it behooves you not to jeopardize the new tenant's Shmir Sabayis. He's also Magilo to have Shmir Sabayis. Yeah, I'm sorry, so I have a question, yeah.
So two points. One of them is, it's very hard to compare between taking from the fire to fire than mezuzah, because there is Hafsed Mamon there. There is no Haser. Then Enev is a Haser. And there is Hafsed Mamon in the mezuzah one. Second, when you talk about Shmira, we know also that the tzitzit, supposedly, one of the midrashim said every place that you cover with tzitzit, it's known exactly with the esh. So there is a shmira too. So how does it compare them?
Okay, interesting. Again, you know, they're you know, in a certain sense, the all mitzvahs are shmira. I mean, the schus of doing mitzvahs is a tremendous shmira for everything. But there are certain mitzvahs, such as mezuzah, according to some Rishonim, that the notion of shmira actually plays a halachic role. You have to always be careful. Are we talking, you know, in the realm of drush? We're talking in the realm of pure halacha. I always give the mashal of mashul. I say that is this a Shabbos morning sermon, a drusha, or is this a Shabbos afternoon shir? We don't say the same thing all the time. I find it hard for me to give that mashal today because I haven't given a drush in the shul on Shabbos morning since I think Pasha Zocha was probably the last.
Almost here.
Shabbos morning drusha that I gave. I give Friday afternoon drushas on Zoom, but it's not the same thing. So a shiur I have given here and there, some shiur in the shul. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So we see that Rashi seems to be presenting the same idea at the seventh day in Tosfos, the saying that mezuzah is a shmirah, and as a shmirah, that's the reason why you can't take the mezuzah off. Whereas the first day in Tosis didn't go down that route. It could be that the reason why the first day in Tosis didn't go down that route, maybe the first day in Tosis didn't buy into this idea of shmirah halacha, maybe in hashkafa, machshava, whatever that means. But in terms of pure halacha, to create an iser, to remove a mezuzah, up din, because you're detracting the shmirah of the next tenant, so maybe Tosis thought that was too far, that was too much. So that idea of almost playing down the shmirah part, that seems to be in sync with the Shittas of Rambam. So the fifth of the Rambam combo, so the Rambam has a very, very strong statement about a certain practice that was prevalent in his days. Okay. Rambam first tells you what you are supposed to write in the mezuzah and then what you're not supposed to write in the mezuzah. Obviously, the text in the mezuzah is pretty clear. As Torah says, you have to write the parashah of mezuzah, the parashah of Shema, Me'am Shema. So it says the Rambam, the fifth of the Rambam Kohen, is minik poshut, shekosvel ha-mezuzah mi-bachutz, yineged ha-revach shebein parashah l'parashah shakai. There's a standard custom, which we have today also, that on the back of the mezuzah, not on the text of the mezuzah, it's on the back of the mezuzah, so we write keneged the blank part between the two parashiyas. So we write the Shem Hashem, the Shem of Shakai. Aim is a hefset. So the Rambam says it's ishkefelach. If you do that, it's not a big, no big problem. The fee should be bechutz because it's on the back of the mezuzah anyway. So the back of the mezuzah, it doesn't impact on the kashas of the mezuzah. Aval says the Rambam, elu shekaisa bifnim. There are some people who write things inside the mezuzah, on the sides of the mezuzah, on the text of the mezuzah. What do they write? Shemus hamalochim, all kind of angels' names, Shemus kedoshim, holy names, the Rabbanshav, pasuk, they write other psukim, ochosamas, amulets, all kind of maisalach. So the Rambam is very, very strong against this practice. We don't have this practice anymore, but in the days of the Rambam, apparently this was definitely present, and the Rambam was vehemently opposed to it, for multiple reasons. The Rambam says, "Harein b'chlam mishen chenik le'mabot." The Rambam says, "Oh, this is a terrible, terrible thing. We have to abolish this practice." Why? She'elu ha'tipshim. He calls these people fools who are writing these different things in the mezuzah. Lo da'ilem shebitlu ha'mitzvah. So first of all, they blew the mitzvah. First of all, they passed the mezuzah. Why the mezuzah? The Rambam understood when the Torah says you have to write the text in the mezuzah, it means it has to be the text in the mezuzah, nothing more, nothing less. The same way the Mishnah says in Menachas that if you're missing a letter from the mezuzah, the whole mezuzah is possible. If you add a word to the mezuzah is also possible. So if you add these other shemas of malachim and kedoshim and maisalach, so then first of all you blew the mitzvah. But blowing a mitzvah on that grounds of losing all of Abba. I mean, every time a person loses a mitzvah, I know the Rambam would call you a tipesh. I mean, you probably are tipesh for not doing a mitzvah, but it's hard to believe the Rambam would come down so hard for a person. If a person put up a pasul mezuzah, I don't think the Rambam would be screaming at them. He put his arm around their shoulders and say, listen, let's get your kosher mezuzah this time. So here the Rambam comes down very, very hard and says, well, dailem shebitlu a mitzvah. El she'asu mitzvah gedayla. They took a great mitzvah. Mezuzah is a gevaldika mitzvah. What's great about it? She'yichad Hashem shalakadosh baruch hu. Look at what's inside the mezuzah. First of all, the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Shema Yisrael, how could he get more Kaddish than that? The Ahavosoi, and Avos Hashem, Havos Hashem Lekecha, what could be greater than that? The Avodosoi, Avdei B'chol Avchem, what could be greater than that? These are the Yisaidis, the greatest, the pillars of everything that we stand for. Yichud Hashem, and Avos Hashem, and Avedis Hashem. And what do these people do? By putting all these klintzim and playing all these games in the mezuzahs, Gilui, he said, it's like amulets that they're using to make a few dollars. It's like an amulet they're putting on to Hashem should watch over the house. They think that the mezuzah of the Rebbeinu Shlom, the mitzvah of Hashem is bayrach, the valdik mitzvah from Kriyas mezuzah, is there just to serve as a good luck charm. It's a rabbit's foot. It's a four-leaf clover. That's what people do by adding all these extra things into the mezuzah. But the Rambam says that it's a double problem. You pass on the mezuzah, and you're worse than passing the mezuzah, is that you're misrepresenting what the goal of the mezuzah is. So the Rambam seems to be coming down very, very hard against the notion of that there's any correlation between doing the mitzvah mezuzah and shmiras habayis. Says maybe it's true b'schus shmiras b'schus the mitzvah says mezuzah Hashem Baruch Hu watch you. B'schus the tefillas lulav Hashem Baruch Hu will also watch you, and b'schus tefillah Hashem Baruch Hu will also watch you, and b'schus tzitzis and b'schus matzah and b'schus shayva, Hashem will watch all of us for all the mitzvahs that we do. But to say that mezuzah is some kind of a magic wand of a good luck charm, so the Rambam says that's terrible. So that idea seems to be not that Chalila Rashi was saying it's a good luck charm, not that Rashi was advocating some of the things the Rambam is saying not to do, but there seems to be almost like a machlekes and mishayim here as to do we take into halachic consideration this idea that mezuzah is any shape or form related to shmiras habayis. So we find two Rishonim who said it was. Rashi said that's the source of Chavis Adar, and one Dan Tyson says that's the source for the issue of removing the mezuzah. Whereas the Rambam seems to be coming down hard against this. Halacha l'maaseh, this becomes very, very relevant for us, a very, very common shaila. A person wants to know is that they're leaving an apartment and they got 10 mezuzah, beautiful mezuzah. They invested, each mezuzah cost $100. They've only been living in the apartment for 6 months and all of a sudden they have $1,000 they have to leave behind. So they want to know what's the din. Are they allowed to take mezuzahs with them? So the Brisa says no. The Brisa says, excuse you, too late, let it be other. The din is you're not allowed to take them. But one day, Taisa said that if you're planning on putting all the mezuzahs up in another house, so now the couples, they're just leaving their apartment, which was, you know, which had 2.5 rooms to it. And now they're moving to a house, so they have 10 rooms. Now they need more mezuzahs, they have to buy more mezuzahs. So they're going to use every single mezuzah. So one day, Taisa says, this is with you. The second antithesis says, no, even then you can't because you can be cause a hezek to the person who's moving in. So we generally follow Halacha the second day antithesis. I think that the second antithesis is the more accepted view in the later poskim. But we say under no circumstances, almost no circumstances, you're allowed to take them as down. That even if you're going to plan on using them again, it doesn't matter. However, the poskim point out a few important considerations for this Halacha. Consideration number one is that you have to leave them there. If you don't have to leave them there for free, you can send the bill. I'm not going to take them down because the Gemara says I'm not allowed to. But please pay me $1,000 for them. So we hope and pray that the other fellow, the new tenant, will reimburse you. What the person can say is that what if the tenant is not interested in $1,000 worth of mezuzahs? The new tenant says, I wouldn't buy such mahadim and mahadim. I would buy the cheapy, b'shasar chach mezuzahs. But then the person can say, good, what I can do is very simple. I'll take down the fancy, schmancy mezuzahs with me. I'll put up the cheapy mezuzahs and leave them for you. So I'm not in violation of La'it Lambiyah. I'm not leaving you a house, mezuzahless house. On the other hand, I'm taking the nice mezuzahs for my apartment, unless you're willing to reimburse me for them. So the post can give that eitzah as well. Yeah. Sorry.
Can't we just tell him to take, he can take down all the mezuzahs, just leave the one in the front door? That sort of gives the shmirah for the house and that's it?
No, so I think we assume halacha that every room is considered to be in a sense a house. There are more quotes that there were some people in Europe only had one mezuzah on the front door. So there are more rights. It's wrong. The good news is that you have to have mezuzah in every single door. Every single door is a chiyuv. So there's a lack of shmirah in my bedroom, my living room, whatever room doesn't have mezuzah, not going to have that quote unquote shmirah. So halacha, we insist that the person cannot just take the mezuzah off and say I'm going to put him somewhere else. You have to leave him there unless. Moshe Feinstein writes that what if the mezuzah is coming down anyway? Why the mezuzah is coming down? Because the landlord's going to paint. In some places there are laws. When you switch over tenants, you have to paint, you have to do construction, other things. So the mezuzah is going to come down anyway. So once the mezuzah is coming down anyway, imkar askvar, then I can take it with me. I'm not mechuyev to put it back up again. I'm not allowed shuyeitzeli lenebiyadaviyeitze. But if I know that the landlord's coming in with a painter tomorrow, so anyway, I have to take off the mezuzahs to protect the mezuzahs. Once they're off, I can take them with me. What if you have a situation where I don't know who's going to be the next tenant? So here, remember the Gemara told us that we don't want you to leave the mezuzahs with a non-Jewish landlord because then they'll end up in the garbage. So that's what the poskim quote, that if it's a non-Jew who's coming in, or maybe I don't know who's coming in, I have no idea who's the next tenant going to be. It's too risky for me to leave the mezuzahs. If I leave the mezuzahs, they may end up being removed and disgraced and thrown into the garbage. So therefore, I have to take them with me. So the only time that I'm mechuyev to leave them behind is if I know that a Jew is coming in. But if I'm not sure that a Jew is coming in, then I should not take the mezuzahs with me. So I'll go upon him. Again, there may be certain scenarios where I'm allowed to take them with me, but the starting point is that I'm really supposed to leave them up. In a situation where I'm allowed to take the mezuzahs with me, at what point am I allowed to take the mezuzahs with me? So this gets a little bit tricky because usually, very often what happens is that a person is living in a house, living in an apartment, renting, whatever it is, and then they're moving out. So by January 1st, they're going to move out. So very often what happens is that they're already out of the apartment before that. Could be they already rented another apartment or bought another house, whatever it is, and they're clearing up and the mess, and, you know, the 1,000 boxes. So they're living by their parents, living by their in-laws, they're living in, you know, there are a lot of that things that are going on, and they're not technically being dar in the house anymore. On the other hand, they are still using the house. They're using the house primarily for storage. It means all their boxes of sperm are still sitting in the living room of the old house. They haven't gotten moved yet. So what's the din? Within those scenarios, when you're allowed to take down the mezuzahs, when am I allowed to take them down? Now, what's the big rush? Because I may want to put up the mezuzahs somewhere else already. Sometimes you have a situation where I already moved into my new house, but I'm still renting. My lease is still going for another 3 months in the old house. I would love to get those mezuzahs off in time to put them onto my new house again, assuming that I'm permitted to do so. It's goyim coming in, the painting, whatever the different cheshbon is on. But when is the, at what point have I reached that situation where I no longer need the mezuzahs on the previous house? So this gets a little bit tricky because on the one hand, we learned that mezuzah chavas adar, that if you're living in a place, you require mezuzahs. What exactly is called living? Dira is a little bit only chayef. They didn't sukkah. Taking me going to sleep after the sukkah. But if I'm doing other kinds of things, having an apple, that's not called a dira. So it's hard to know exactly whether the definition of dira means the same thing in all areas of halacha. So at what point is something considered to be a mokom dira? So there's a machleikes hat in the Gemara in Maseches Yuma about what if I have a room or I have a house that I'm not living in. I'm not eating it. I'm not sleeping in it. But I'm storing my items in it. It's a base of oitzer, so it's a base of oitzer, chayv and mezuzah or not. So it's a machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch, the sixth, the following room, the following houses are obligated mezuzah. Echad sheri batim, if it's a gate or doorway to a house, mishari chatzeres, or if it's a courtyard, or medinos, so if you have like a gate, you know, an old Yotzini Rishalayim, you know, medinos bayaros, you have a whole country that's surrounded by walls, or a city surrounded by walls. So ref is bakar, or if you have a barn, the lulin, the chicken coops, the otsus yayin, the shemen. If you have storehouses, places that you keep your wine stored, places that you keep your oil stored, so all of these places are chiyav mezuzos. So even though the truth is there is machlekes to be shining, whether we paskin like that opinion in the Gemara, Shulchan Aruch paskins unequivocally like that view, even to the extent of Kivega writes that you make a bracha. Even though the Rambam Taka holds that a base oitzer is potter, we don't accept the Rambam's quote. He was not even quoted Lalach and Shulchan Aruch, and therefore any base oitzer, any room that's used as a storeroom, you have to put a mezuzah on. That's the reason why you need a mezuzah in a garage. Many people use their garage as a storeroom, either to store their car, or some people don't even keep the car in the garage. They use it some to keep stuff stored in the garage. So any room you have in your house that even if you're not literally eating or sleeping in it, but you're keeping stuff in it as part of your base oitzer, such a room would be chayim mikra din with a bracha in mezuzah. So now it gets a little bit tricky. So even though I moved out of the apartment already, and I'm not living there, I'm not eating there, I'm not sleeping there. On the other hand, I still got half my stuff is there, half my product, half my home, my swarm box is still there for another month. So now what? Is that still chayim al tzbeis oitzer? So if that's true, that could be a big chumrah. That's going to make things very inconvenient. It's gonna affect your timeline during your moving transition, because on the one hand, You want to get your mezuzahs off as soon as possible. Again, assuming you're allowed to take them off, based on some of the things we mentioned before. So assuming you're allowed to take them off, I'd like to get them off as soon as possible because I want to put them in my new house. But the problem is, my old house is still a base of oitzer. Unless one argues as follows, that memedvar memur a base of oitzer is chayv mezuzah, that's when it's serving the role of a base of oitzer. I have a storeroom, a garage. A garage is not miyuchel kach to sleep in. So a garage is a base of oitzer. A storeroom is a base oitzer, but a living room is not a base oitzer. A bedroom is not a base oitzer. So what sometimes happens is that my whole living room became a storage house. My whole bedroom became a storage house. So that's not a base oitzer. That's not what Chazal was describing. So it could be that when you have a real base dira that ceases to be a base dira, it doesn't become a base oitzer overnight. It's not a hocus pocus coming base oitzer. That's not even the base oitzer that Chazal was describing in such a room. You have to be kiveya. Are you being darn or not? So the answer is you're not. If you're not being darn, you're not eating there, you're not sleeping there, you're never there anymore. You're just keeping your swarm stored there. So that's not called the base oitzer to be chayv. So that would be a good cooler. That would help a person if they want to kind of pull out, pull the mezuzahs off before they actually technically, you know, terminate the lease. This could impact, this svar will impact very often at the beginning as well. The din is that when you rent a house, so unless the Eretz Yisrael is a little bit different, but in Chutzlar, the Gemara says that you have 30 days to put up the mezuzah. Why do you have 30 days? So that's a big machlekes in Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that's a shiur deraisa, some Rishonim say it's a shiur derabbanan. But Lamai said the bottom line is for the first 30 days, you don't have to put up the mezuzah. When do you start counting the 30 days? You start counting the 30 days from whence you become, once you move into the house. So what's called moving into the house? So usually what happens is that you start putting stuff into the house first, and then eventually you move into the house. So when is the cutoff point? At what point do we say that I moved into the house? Let's say a couple's getting married. So they start piling up all this stuff in the living room, the bedroom, whatever dishes they got and pots they got and stuff is all sitting in the house. The svarim's sitting in the house. And eventually the couple's going to move in after they get married. So when did the 30 days start to kick in? So if you chayshesh that the house served as a base of oitza from the minute you start to put the boxes in it, so then the 30 days is going to start much earlier. If you make a cheshbon and say, no, that's not a base of oitza, that's a living room. Right now, I'm temporarily using it as a place to store my svarim, but that's not its goal. It's not its role. Therefore, the 30 days would only start when the couple actually moves in. So it's the flip of the previous shadow. And the other shadow we had at the tail end of the story, now we're having at the beginning of the lease. So at what point do we say something is a base oitzah? So if you go with this svar that many places can have, that base oitzah is a base oitzah, but a house is not really a base oitzah. So then, bein l'kula, bein l'kula. That means that would enable you to take off the mezuzahs earlier once you stop eating and sleeping there. And that would enable you to hold off for the 30 days. You don't have to go rush to get mezuzahs until the 30-day count begins from the time you actually move in. So there are really multiple parts of the sugya that connect together. The fundamental question is, why is this such an issue? Where did this brisa come from? To say that, let it be other v'yaitse. So if you hold like Rav, that aim at tirin beged lebeged, and the in there, so then the brisa is obvious. You never let us switch from one shaft to shemot. Like Shmuel, like we do Paskin, like my Paskin is explicitly like Shmuel. So what's wrong with moving the mezuzahs? So one day in Taisa says, Taka, nothing wrong, as long as you're going to put it up somewhere else. And the idea Shlem in Taisa says, no, mezuzah is different because it's lahatzel, it's a shmira, and you're jeopardizing the next tenant. So we pointed out that idea that Taisa is taking the shmir sabayas as a chelik in the halachic universe of Hilchas mezuzah, that's in sync with Rashi's Chavis Adar. It doesn't seem to bode well for the Shita Se Rambam. And then we had the poskim who point out that within this halachah, now I think the mezuzah, a few exceptions to that rule. And within those cases, those exceptions, the next question becomes, at what point do you say it's mutter to take the mezuzah off? At what point does the chiyuv no longer exist on the house? Okay, everybody, good night.
What if the rent?